Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Atlantic Bushcraft Adventures. Tonight we are on episode 220 and we are going to be talking a little bit about fishing on the trail. And not just going to go fishing, because, you know, anybody can do that. But more realistically, if you're out, you know, bushwhacking or whatever, you have a bushcrafting trip or a camping trip or something like that planned, and you may want to do a little fishing along the way, carrying a full-length rod sometimes just isn't the best option. It either takes up too much weight or it's getting tangled into the trees or, you know, there's different reasons why you may not want to take a full rod. However, there is lots of things that you can do that'll still, you know, get the hook in the water and potentially get you a meal. And I thought that's what we'd talk about a little bit tonight, Ben. What about yourself? What's your thoughts on this whole thing?
I think that's exactly it. So just, I guess, compact ways to take enough stuff to do fishing. I mean, you could look at it a little bit of survival, but this is more just having it there in case.
So join us in the comments tonight, not to cut you off there, Ben, but just because they said hi and there's three of them coming in hot. So we have Fish85, howdy Fish, good of you to join us. We have Danny from Red Sand Adventures, and of course we have our good old friend Steve, who's working around there, and I'm sure we'll say have some insightful things. I know Steve and Danny both do a little fishing there. Fish85, I assume by the name, must do a little bit. Maybe not.
At least one.
But yeah, it's something that I do quite often when I go out bushcrafting. I don't necessarily plan to go fishing, but I always have something in my bag that if I want to do a little bit of fishing, I can at least drop a line in. Doesn't mean I'm going to catch anything. Ben knows that all too well. I figured I would make fun of myself before you had the chance.
I wasn't going to throw you under the bus this trip.
I don't believe that. I honestly don't.
Now we'll never know.
But I mean, it's a common thing, especially if you're into like long hikes and stuff like that. If you were to take a full, you know, 6-7 foot rod and just kind of have it in your hand and hike along, it's not that you can't do it. It's just one, it's cumbersome. Two, if you're going to go through any amount of trees, like it's tangled up into everything. And you may want to, you know, they're difficult to attach to your pack. Not impossible, but not easy. And it's just something else where if you can't attach to your pack, it's very easy to lose. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And it's very easy to damage.
Good point.
So I don't know how many times you've done it, but I've done it more than I'd like to count, which could be just one, honestly. But trying to walk through deep woods with a full-size fishing rod is difficult. I mean, it gets hooked in branches. If the hook comes loose, you can lose your lure and stuff. Like, it's awkward. And even, like, throwing it into the back of a vehicle, I mean, it's the most common thing in the world to crack one with the hinge of your car or something, just trying to close it, and you break it. Because it's long, it's thin, it's relatively fragile. So it's not the most convenient thing to take when you're camping. And so if you can have something that's pretty compact, pretty efficient, then it allows you to have it, and it'll work for the occasional fishing trip. Now, if you're hardcore and you're gone with, say, our good buddy Gary, he takes like 8 or 9 rods. Like, it looks a forest behind him.
But I mean, that's the difference too. He's going out there with the intention of fishing. As where I go out there with the intention of bushcrafting, and fishing just happens to be a part of that. So we have John Doe joining us in the comments as well. And he said, it's a fun challenge for camp. Catch what you catch without bringing any fishing gear. And funny enough, the first time Ben and I went out, that was exactly our challenge. And that's where the joke came from. Ben caught probably 4 or 5 little pan fry. Like, you know, they were decent sized fish, and he got a meal out of it. I kept getting a bite with one. It was the bigger fish, to be fair, but I couldn't get the damn thing in. No way, no how could I land that fish.
Yeah. So, I mean, we spent a couple hours at it. We had a good time with it. And I think all we were allowed to take, there was rules, was one hook, one piece of line. That was it.
Yep.
And we could carve any kind of stick, rod, reel, anything you wanted. And you fish with that. But who could make the most hobo reel system going? And that's all we did. We whipped up some stuff pretty quick. I think we used pepperonis.
Yep, you had pepperettes, and that's what we used. We did try to find some grubs and stuff. And this is what people always say is, oh, I don't need to bring bait. I'll find someone. I'm there. We were beside a riverbed, flipping rocks and logs and everything else that you could think of, and we couldn't find anything. That's why we cannibalized the pepperettes.
And honestly, I've experienced that before. Sometimes you flick it over, and there's more worms than you can deal with. And other times, you just have to find the right soil, right area. And in that area, it was gravelly and rocky and not much soil, and honestly there wasn't a lot of insects that you could pick up and attach to your reel.
Yeah, we couldn't find anything because we were looking for grubs, grasshoppers, crickets, worms, like anything we thought we could use for bait. We ended up using the pepperettes and some of the wax from your bell cheese.
Yeah, I've done that a few times now. Honestly, anything that kind of smells good, fish will go after, in my opinion. And so they'll go after most booties.
John Doe just said his brother won something with using pizza. So fish are actually pretty non-picky eaters. Because I know if you can get that first fish, you can use the eyes. That's two pieces of bait right there. And they work really well, believe it or not. As well as the intestines. You can use that, and that makes really great bait as well. So if you can get that first one, you can kind of set yourself up to get more, theoretically.
Yeah. I mean, you can use that. I've seen people use small fish to catch bigger fish. Be reasonable. You're in a small stream. There's not big, big fish in most small streams. They're usually proportionally sized, so keep that in mind. You're not coming out with a 3-foot fish in a river that's only a couple feet across.
No, and that's where we were. Like, realistically, it's a big waterfall, lots of water moving, but the river was only maybe 10 feet wide, tops, and ankled and knee-deep.
Yeah, most places not all that deep. There was pools, but for the most part, it wasn't, it wasn't ideal for that. But it was great fun, and that was the most hobo thing, and I think we just cut a piece of wood that we could wrap the line around, and we just hand tossed it out for the most part.
Right there. That's the one that caught us all. Well, caught you all the fish. So I have a picture of it up here for anybody that's listening through the audio. You're missing out on this one. But yeah, this is literally where we went fishing. The river, as you can see, wasn't that wide. The pools were not that deep or big. But like I said, Ben, you pulled out 4 or 5 decent little pan fry fish. I mean, it was a meal.
Yeah, we had a good time. Food was had. That was good. I shared. I offered you some.
You did, and I ate some. It was delicious. And if anybody, some of our southern friends and across the brook there and stuff like that, the thing with brook trout, if you're not familiar with them and if you haven't eaten them, it's one of the fishiest fish that you can eat. It has a very strong fish taste to it, so you really have to like fish. It's not like your white fish, like haddock and pollock and stuff like that. This is true fish-tasting fish, if that makes any kind of sense. And I've tried a lot of fish. Brook trout's probably not up in my top 10. I can eat it. I don't mind it, and you know what I mean? Like, but it's not something I would actively go to the grocery store and be like, I want to feed a brook trout. I'm going in there and I'm buying salmon and some other white meats and stuff like that. So if you've never had brook trout, it's definitely an experience though. Like speckled and rainbow are the big ones we get here, and they're still good. Don't misunderstand. Just be aware they are a little quote unquote fishy tasting.
Yeah, I think they're some of my favorite because I grew up with them. Brook trout. I do like them. But that being said, I can understand where you're coming from.
So John Doe said you don't need a license there when using a stick, no reel, bamboo. That's pretty much what we did, though. You still need a license here. Regardless, if you put a hook in the water in Atlantic Canada, you need a license for it. But that's basically what we did, John, was we just took a long switch or a stick, whatever you want to call it, a branch off a tree, literally tied just a granny knot of a line onto the end of it, threw a hook on it, and then whatever we could find, we ended up using for bait. And we did try a couple different things too. We ended up trying to make wooden bobbers and a few other things. We used the wax to try and make a float. We tried several different things to see what would actually work good, but honestly what worked the best was just the plain line with the pepperette on it. You were pulling them out literally within 3-4 minutes of casting in.
Yeah. I mean, as many as there wasn't a ton there to catch.
No.
But they weren't hard to catch once you found the right spot. And right. But we had virtually the identical hook, the same size fishing line. The only real difference was luck.
Yeah.
I mean, as I want to give you a hard time about it, and I do.
I mean, it's funny. That's the whole point of fishing, is there's lots of great stories. It's fun. I guess location, I was on the right side of the river, you were on the left side of the river, but I don't really think that made that big a difference either. It was just luck of the draw. So, and John's joining us from Florida. Steve, people from Newfoundland talk to fish and confuse them with the accent. I've experienced this with friends. There's a reason that Newfoundland has such a large fishery. Yeah, so once again, for our maybe across the waters brethren, have you ever a slight deviation, sorry folks, if you hear me pause, I'm actively actually on call for several forest fires that are here in my location, and I got the radio on behind me, and I'm just kind of listening to see if I gotta take off again or not, but so far so good. But anyway, something that's famous in Newfoundland, and just to deviate from our topic slightly, is called screeching in. And if you don't know what this is, it's look it up. That's all I'm gonna say. It involves alcohol and fish.
Sure. Yeah. So, okay. So
we talked about the stick and the line. That is the number one way to go, because honestly, you can take a little bit of fishing line, you can wrap it up with a few weights, hooks, maybe even a spinner, and you can literally throw that, if you still have a thing, and I'm aging myself now, it's like an old film canister. I still have tons of those, and I just tuck those in, and I can throw one of those in my backpack, and that's enough equipment to get me up and fishing if I'm in a tight spot.
Yeah, a lot of people use the Altoid tins now, but, you know, the big thing is you wrap, you know, 10, 15, 30 feet of fishing line around a piece of cardboard, tuck it in so it doesn't come out, throw 4 or 5 hooks, maybe a couple of lures, and a couple of weights, and it makes a decent little kick. And that's about the easiest system you could build, to just something to quickly toss and go. If you want to go even more primitive, there is some ways of cutting, like, the barbs off of, like, thorny bushes and stuff.
Yeah, I have made and successfully used a thorn hook and a bone hook.
Yeah.
Not with the best of results, don't get me wrong. When I say successful, don't think that it was like, oh yeah, I caught my fish. We're talking hours of trying to fish and get this right and stuff like that. And honestly, it was frustrating at times, perfectly honest. You got to get the hook, quote unquote, tied in just perfectly and the bed bait threaded on so it all sits in line. I mean, it's neat. Not my first choice.
And honestly, from what I've been told, they really need to swallow it, where with a modern metal hook, you just have to get them hooked into their skin somewhere. Like if their lip goes around it, you can generally pull them in. But these other things, it kind of almost has to go down inside a bit, and then it lodges in your throat, and you can pull them out.
So, and that's exactly what my problem was. I think I was just trying to set the hook when it was only in their mouth, and it kept coming out.
Yeah, 100%. Like it's a totally different game. They have to actually swallow it, and that's trickier. And if you don't pull it the right time, they're going to spit it out because this doesn't feel right. So you have a pretty narrow window. You get a bit better window with a metal hook. I've seen guys do the pop can trick.
You know, where you take the tab off the pop can and cut it?
Yeah.
Just happen to have a can of 7-Up here. Here, I'll do this while you chat. I think I can still do this.
So, yeah, you take the tab, because it's relatively strong, but I mean, it's aluminum. Don't think it's super... and you cut it at a slight angle and you twist it out and it creates a rudimentary hook, and Robert will probably show you in a second, and then you tie the string to the back end of it, and you can toss the thing out. And maybe a fish bites it and takes it, and it actually kind of acts a little bit as a lure slash hook combo. And it's, you know, people have had success with it. I wouldn't say great success or frequent success. But if you're starved to death and you're near probably a bigger, better body of water in the ocean, you might be able to pull in something that's not too picky not too big.
I ended up breaking it. But anyway, kind of this dealio here. I ended up breaking the top off because I tried to bend it, and that was a bad idea. But yeah, you can make a hook out of a pop tab.
Yeah. So that's the concept. Rudimentary idea.
Yeah. A couple comments here that I just want to touch on. Gill nets and archery fishing, both of which aren't allowed in the province I'm in. Gill netting I have seen done, being up north. It's actually really effective passive kind of fishing, but once again, where we're at, you're not allowed to net any kind of fish like that. It's called netting, gaffing, all that stuff. Big no-no. And archery fishing, or, you know, bow fishing, whatever you want to call it. I would love to try that. There are certain provinces you can do it, certain provinces you can't. Nova Scotia, you can't. But man, I think that'd be a ton of fun. Mind you, it'd be incredibly hard here too. We don't really have the hardy fish where you can, you know, like the big ones I see that are done with bow fishing is like gar, carp. That's really only the two big ones I've seen, because they're larger fish and they come fairly close to the surface. And you can kind of see them, and but I mean, you can fish anything as long as the fish is big enough. Don't get me wrong; that's just what I happen to see.
I mean, some of the salmon, I would bet you could probably do it with the striped bass.
Yeah, they'd definitely be big enough. You just have to find somewhere where they come close enough to the top of the water.
Well, I'm not saying. Yeah. I have seen in Nova Scotia that you could have done that from a canoe.
They do a lot of pike, apparently, down in Florida as well. Is that where you're from, Fish? Was it John or Fish that said they were from Florida here? John's from Florida. Where are you from, Fish? A lot of pike there, apparently, they do fishing with. And we do have pike up here. I wish Gary was on. He has fished a vast variety of fish compared to Ben and I. He is a pro fisherman. So Fish is in Michigan. So yeah, we do have pike here. We got striped bass, we got largemouth bass, smallmouth bass, depending on the location. It starts with G. Garlock? I can't remember what they're called, but anyway, we have a couple other fishes here too. Don't get me wrong, we're not just all about trout, but yeah, I would have loved to try bow fishing.
Yeah, I haven't tried it either. I've sized it up. I don't think it's ever been legal where I've been or encouraged anyways.
Have you tried spear fishing?
No, and I'm sticking to that answer.
I have. Once upon a time, it wasn't illegal in Nova Scotia. You could actively spear fish in certain locations. Smelt fishing, which is the big legal one I'm going to say right now to keep us out of a lot of, you know, potentially tricky situations. So we're going to stay with smelt fishing. That didn't change until like the late 90s, early 2000s. You could still spearfish smelts. Now it has to be on a string, of course, and whatnot. But that's another viable way of trying to do some fishing, as long as it's legal in your area. And we highly encourage you to check all your local laws and stuff like that. It's just a quick call to your resources office and they can tell you what you can and can't do. But spearfishing offers a unique challenge of enjoyment, as well as trying to hit a target where it has white refraction in it. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. You might get away with a little bit more as you get out into the water, but inland fishing still has a lot of rules.
So we've talked about the switch with a line on it. The other thing that you had, Ben, you're probably not going to be able to see the picture because of the way I have this, but you remember the hobo reel you made?
Yeah.
So, nope, don't get it up. There we go. Now I have a picture of that up, along with your Mora knife. But anyway, that's... Anybody, once again, watching the video here, that's what we call a hobo reel or a hand reel. The idea is you can see the tapered handle there. That's what you hold in your hand. And where Ben had carved out around it, that is where your line would go on. So this is basically...
There's the wax and the cheese we used.
Yeah, so the red blob up top, that was the wax off your Baby Bell cheese, and we used it both as, well, we used it for a couple different things. We tried it as bait, we tried it as a bobber, we tried it as a lure. We tried some things with it.
Yeah.
But once again, sorry.
I've used that before with varying results. I'm not going to say it's the best.
There's a lot of uniqueness you got to put into that. We found with that one there, if you can get it right, you can kind of do like the old spin cast where you take it and you spin and it should spool off the end. If this was the end, the string should come off the end. But we were having some difficulties with yours. It was getting fetched up. And that's where the fine tuning gets in. You sometimes got to take hours to fine tune those things out.
You really need sandpaper with that. Maybe a lathe. what I was going to say is...
So, seeing Steve's asking here, so collapsible rods. We're going to save that one because there is something smaller yet than a collapsible rod.
You know what's really good? No one's going to think about. You go to Walmart and you pick up the little Dora the Explorer Disney cartoon style one. It's got like one eye on it. It's about a foot, maybe 14 inches long. Those things are awesomely good to fish with. They're so fun.
Never tried one. Tried river fishing with an ice rod, and that was interesting. Caught a salmon. That was even more interesting. But, well, we're on the topic of hand rods, hand reels. This is another kind of setup. This is something I made. It's just some wood, same kind of deal. You spool it off, you throw it out. It's just stronger line. This is the green line, and I just keep a hook on it. This can literally fit in a pocket, and this can get me out and fishing. You know what I mean? Like, you pull that off, take your line out, and then you basically just hand bomb it out. This works better in moving water. You drop it in and kind of let it float down and do your fishing from there is what I found, but I have used it for other things. With varying luck. The thing with all these hand options are, you don't really have a drag. You are the drag. You are the reel. You are everything. So you got to keep that in mind. It adds a few other challenges, but sometimes those challenges are fun.
We used to use a much bigger version of that for cod.
Oh, yeah? Is that a new thing, or?
No, growing up, you jigged. Cod was something you jigged for. So you had something like that thing. But they were probably at least a foot long and a foot wide, and they're quite a bit bigger, and the fishing line you used on it was quite a bit big. And you would drop the fish, we had like a jigger. You drop it down, you hit the ground, and you come up about 3 meters, and you just back and forth, back and forth.
Mm. And sounds a lot like squid jigging.
When you catch yourself a nice, like, 30, 40-pound cod...
I would not want to pull in a 30-pound cod with my hands on her line. So, John Doe, have you ever heard of a yo-yo reel? I have, but I've only ever seen them used in ice fishing. Which, it's basically just a reel. And correct me if I'm wrong there, John. This is what I'm envisioning anyway. It's a reel, and it's kind of like, you know, the old pull-down blinds? Where you can pull them down and they'll lock, but then if it takes a quick snap, they kind of fling back up. That's what this yo-yo reel was to me, or what I'm thinking of anyway. And people used to put them out on a stick, and they'd put them over the ice fishing holes down in the harbor. And then if they got a bite or something, it would basically reel the sucker back in, which is another viable option if you can figure out how to use that in a river. I just never thought of that. Actually, it's a great idea, John. I'd love to hear if you have used this, like lake fishing, river fishing, something like that. I just always assumed it was an ice fishing product. A couple of the kids last week for some reason. Fish than catching your own. So Fish 85. I just picked up a couple for the kids last week. I assume he means the Disney rods there. For some reason, fish have tingling senses that a kiddie pole is in the water over an adult rod. Spend more time removing fish than catching your own. I'd love to say you're probably right, Fish, but if you're anything like me, bud, just means that your kid's better at fishing than you are.
We had two or three at the cabin, and they're short. You don't have to worry about breaking them off. I swear I had like a 6-foot rod, and I wasn't casting a hell of a lot further than I was getting these little ones to cast. And I had open face reel, decent hook, everything. I thought, like, man, I should be able to. And I grabbed that little thing, zips, and closed reel. Like,
Those closed reels. Okay. If we're going to talk about reels for a second, if you're in and around a lot of sticks, man, you can't beat a closed reel. Open reels are really only good if you're not going to be tangled up into everything. Or, I mean, you can use them, don't get me wrong. I just find that the closed reels really shine in wooded areas.
Yeah. No, no, there's an advantage.
So, while Ben is gone, getting what I assume is some sort of demonstration product.
No, I had to get rid of the dog.
Oh, okay. The next thing I kind of want... Oh, what's Danny saying here? The young fellow actually has a telescopic fishing rod that is the size of a Sharpie marker. Ha-ha! So Danny knows where I'm going, and this is the next one I have. This is my pocket rod, and there is a standard pen next to it. As you can see, it's about the size of a Sharpie marker. You pop the top off. And then these suckers actually extend out, and they come with this nice little reel.
That is the cutest little
reel.
Can
I help you?
I'd sure talk around your head to stop by.
Give me 2 seconds.
I bet you when you bought that, your wife was so proud of you.
Yep. So there we go. This is kind of the whole setup there. And I mean, this is great. This literally does just fit in your backpack. It's nice and tiny. It's all good. There is some drawbacks to these. One, I mean, they're a fairly sturdy rod, but you're not going to take in a whole whopping, like, 3-pound fish with this. Two, the reel design is very primitive, very basic. Once again, it does kind of have a drag setting over here. It kind of works. I tend to use my thumb and just hold it over the reel kind of deal, like this, as I'm reeling in, and I just use my thumb as the drag. But this isn't a bad deal. The main problem with these things are... You're still kind of hand casting with them. They don't have any real casting method, as you can see the way they spool on there, if you folks can see that. You still got to pull all the line out that you want to cast, and you kind of like under flick it into the water. But it works great. It's great for small streams. This shines at the waterfall where you and I were. This is generally what I bring there, because it gets me out plenty far, but it gives me the option to have a reel and something with a little bit of flex at the end so you can set the hook a little better. You know what I mean? But I love this thing, and it was cheap. It was like $14.
I had a coworker. His name was Kevin. He loved fishing. And when he found out about those, he bought one right away, and he talked about it quite a bit because he said oftentimes he'll see a small stream or brook, something that most people probably wouldn't even try to fish. He can fit that literally in his pocket, and he walked down and do it up, drop it in a few spots, and if he caught a couple of fish, great. If he didn't, he still had fun.
And that's what I love about mine. It goes in the outside pocket of my kit bag. It's kind of got its own little spot there, and I just set it and forget it. You know what I mean? It just stays there. And if I'm like, oh, that's a neat little stream, I'd like to try a couple casts into that. It's a great option for that, and it's very minimal. And I have a small, literally just tackle box, like, you know, go to the Canadian Tire, Walmart, or whatever your local big box store is and pick up the smallest little box you have. You can throw a great assortment of spinners and stuff like that in that, and you have yourself a full fishing kit that takes up practically no room, and you can have a blast doing some fishing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think we can talk about it now. There's bigger collapsible ones have similar advantages. Yeah. But they have their limitations. I used to keep one of those for in the back of the motorcycle.
And this is the one that I usually keep in my ATV, to be perfectly honest. Because with the ATV, I know I'm going to be close to a road. I have lots of room to fish. And there is some advantages and disadvantages to this. The big disadvantage is the size of the reel generally takes up quite a bit of room in your pack. The pole itself really doesn't, to be honest. And you can remove the reel and try and store it elsewhere if you want to. But honestly, with this one anyway, it's just easier to leave the reel attached. And I replaced the reel on this with a cheaper one because I broke the bearing in my other one. But normally I would loosen off the back bolt and collapse the handle underneath it so it just has a slightly smaller profile. And that's about the best I can get to pack that sucker up.
It's. I find it good. It fit in my saddlebag, the one I had, or I could throw it in a small pack. It had its advantages. I do like them. They're neat because you still end up with like a 6-foot rod. You get a decent sized rod with them. Potentially even bigger if you want to pay for it.
And that's the thing. Steve was asking if we had some suggestions for smaller collapsible fishing rods. And I'm going to be honest with you, Steve, to an extent, they're very similar regardless of what you buy. There is some exceptions. Once you get into the big brand names and you start paying big bucks, you are definitely getting a better rod. It's better quality. It's a little stronger. It comes with a better reel. It's probably a little smoother to collapse and put up. But if you're spending like sub 60 bucks, honestly, don't worry so much about the rod. Look at the reel. You're better off if you want a good rod, quote unquote. Just get yourself whatever collapsible rod you can find fairly cheap and then buy a better reel for it than you are to try and worry about buying this as a package. If you're going to buy as a package, look for like the $45, $50 ones. Buy it and just laugh yourself away because you're not really going to get a whole lot more for a lot more money unless you start kind of customizing it. If that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah. And honestly, I've never spent big money on a rod. And that's an honest thing. Like, I go to Canadian Tire, Walmart, and whatever is more or less affordable. A buddy of mine at my cabin, he went to the dollar store and bought 2 or 3 7-foot rods. He loved them.
This is so, this and my fly rod. Nope, not even this. My fly rod, I think, is my only brand new rod I've bought. Everything else, flea market finds. Flea market, yard sales, whatever. I don't think I paid more than $10, $15 on any of the rods I own except for my fly rod.
I will say a really cheap reel is a really cheap reel.
Yeah. Reels are where you can spend money if you want a good rod. Less about the rod, definitely more about the reel. Unless you're planning to fish bash and then you need to, you know. If you're looking at monster fish, you definitely have to get a rod that's going to take that kind of weight and pull. Because there's nothing worse than trying to set the hook and your rod just snaps in half.
Yeah. But I find with reels, if they're not good, that they jam up more frequently, the handles fall off of them. I've had the whole reel part come right out of one. Like, it just disassembled.
Yeah, see, the drag doesn't work. One thing I don't like about this one is the handle can actually back out. It doesn't have a back nut for tightening. If you accidentally start turning this the wrong direction, it will literally just come out. And I've had that happen where I've lent this to somebody, and they were using it to fish, and they were spinning it in the wrong direction, the handle just came out, and they lost their fish.
Yeah.
And granted, I mean, once again, I didn't really pay a lot for this rod, so this is kind of the rod I lend everybody, and they're like, hey, let's go fishing. I'm like, yeah, here you go, here's a rod. You know what I mean? So.
But yeah, I mean, you don't need a ton to enjoy fishing, and we're talking about lightweight systems you can take. So these are definitely some options. We talked, and this is, I think, what we really could go in a little bit more on, is improvising. Like, there's oftentimes different things. I've heard people using jewelry. I don't recommend jewelry as lures, unless it's dire circumstances, because there's a pretty good chance you're going to lose it. And if you lose your wife's favorite diamond earrings in a snag, I'm sorry, you're going to probably lose them for the next couple of days. That being said, cheap jewelry and stuff often works. It is a fun one. It's a challenge sometimes. Just go to the dollar store, see what you can get. But you can buy a good bait, okay fishing line, and rods. And I don't know about reels, but you can get stuff, right? You can have some options. And test it out. And, it, you know, when you're doing it, figure out what works. What's the absolute worst? You don't catch a fish? I mean, we've all been there.
I seen you staring right at me, Ben. I knew that was a direct attack.
If you were going to say anything, we've all been there where you didn't catch a fish, but you've learned what doesn't work. And I think that's what we said before. Like, every time you fail, you've learned something.
This, it's not that you work. Failed, you learn what doesn't work.
Yeah.
With everything in life, don't just take that with bushcrafting. With all aspects of your life, never. I'm a big believer in never accepting failure, but it's not failure if you learned what not to do. It's only failure if you let it defeat you. You know what I mean?
Now, here's a couple of things you can do in a more dire emergency, I'm going to say. The fish weir type thing, where if you can find a puddle or a low spot that you can channel a little bit of water in, throw some bait in there, fish will eventually swim into it. You can drop a rock and sort of separate it. Now they're stuck in a small area. And if you're smart enough, you can actually scoop them out of the water. Now, I don't think this is legal.
Once again, you said you were moving more towards the survival side of this, and I think there's probably a little bit of leeway for survival situations. And this doesn't mean I'm out for a walk, you forgot your lunch, and you're a little hungry. This is you are lost. You don't know if somebody's coming for you when you are starving. Keep in mind, survival does mean it's a necessity to survive, not to qualm a snack attack. You know what I mean?
So if you're in a position where you're kind of worried about where you're going to get your next meal, and you come across the right situation, sometimes you can build a little spot, you know, funnel a few fish in and catch them that way. That is a potential option. Some people have made the fish traps, which are cones with like a cap in them. Fish go in and they can't find their way out because it has that like opening type system. So a hole that'll kind of open up as it goes through and then close, and when he turns around, he can't find a hole.
So those work really well in shallow moving water, I find. I have tried these in the past. When I was younger, you could actually buy, like, from the store, what was called a fish trap. And what was explained to me, and I mean the legality of this is in question at this point, of course. This was taught to me by my grandfather. But basically, you find moving shallow-ish water and try and build like a disruption across it. Not so much a dam. You're not trying to stop the water. But you throw a bunch of big rocks in, so fish don't generally like to swim through a bunch of rocks if they're just moving through the river. They generally, like the rest living things, take the path of least resistance. So you kind of make it difficult for the rest, and then you funnel it into where your trap sits, and it actually works fairly well. Deeper water, they can swim over it. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah. So there's that method. I mean, some people mention a net. Again, basically illegal, but you can do it.
Netting and gaffing are both illegal here in Nova Scotia.
The one I've seen is where you lay the net on the ground and you tie the four corners to a single pivot point. You pick the whole thing up.
Mm.
That I have seen done, where one guy runs and jumps on the end.
Well, I know down in places like Florida and Idaho and maybe a few other places, you can get casting nets. Where literally it's a net for fishing. It's got weights on it. You tie it to your wrist and you kind of throw it out like a pizza. And it goes out wide, drops, and then you just pull it back in. Once again, not legal here, so I've no experience with one, but that is another option. But they'd actually take up a surprising amount of room for what they're worth. A lot of people would think, oh, hey, that sounds like a great way. I can throw it in the bottom of my bag and forget about it. But the ones I've seen, and granted, most of them are in videos, they take up a surprising amount of room. Same as a gill net. Gill net takes up a surprising amount of room.
So we had a casting net at our cabin. Now, we never used it. It was an decoration, but I think my grandfather or my father's grandfather had made it, and it was maybe a 10 or 15 foot one. That's diameter, right? So you get a piece of rope that makes a big circle, and there was little lead balls all the way around it, and then netting went into a single point in the middle that you have your rope on, and you throw it in such a way it would open up and drop down over a body of water, and when you pull it all closes and makes a bag, really, and you drag it back in. Great system, great idea. I've never tried using them, but that thing weighed a ton.
From what I understand, there is a knack to throwing them, and if you don't have it, they are useless to you. So until you learn that knack, it's one of those things that I think that takes a bit of practice and skill, which, I mean, all methods of fishing do. Let's be real here. But it's not something that you want to try and rely on if you've never used it. Now, that being said, if I had the means to make a cast net and I was in a survival situation, I'd try to figure it out. Don't misunderstand. But just to grab one and say, oh, yeah, that's how I'm going to eat and I'm not going to worry about it, I'd want to try and give it a few test throws somewhere, somehow.
You might be dragging 20 pounds of lead weights and rope for not, right?
Well, that's just it. I mean, they are tricky to throw from what I understand. But let's change gears slightly here, Ben. What about baits? We've talked about this, and the big thing I like to tell people is don't expect to find the bait where you're at. It's good to say you're going to try and find some, but have a backup. With you and I, we were lucky you had the pepperettes, but other than that, we didn't really have anything for bait.
I've had luck with berries. grubs you can often find, but like you said, is not the easiest. You could tear up a lot of moss, a lot of rocks before you find something. But any type of meat, believe it or not, can be used. So if you found a dead animal, you can take a piece of that. I've heard people using like seeds and stuff, but it's much harder to get the stick to a hook.
Mm.
But yeah, fish are opportunistic eaters for the most part. And will try to eat almost anything.
And I tend to agree with you on that. Like, I've gone out numerous times and said, oh, I'll find my bait when I'm there. And more often than not, I come up skunked. So what I've started to do now is, much like you, I will bring some pepperettes. Or I actually have some fake bait that I keep in my my little tackle box. And the fake bait can be just, I think one of them was just these little red blobs. And a couple fake worms. And I mean, at least it's something. I've caught stuff on the red blobs or the red berries or whatever they are. But they have a scent to them and stuff like that, and they can dry out and crack and stuff. So just once again, make sure you maintain that kind of stuff. If you're going to take baits from home, something that's always good is a couple flies. Because you don't really have to find any bait from there. That's your hook and your bait tied in. The problem with flies is getting them to cast. And there is some tricks you can use with those, especially if you know roughly how deep the water is that you're casting out. If you're using it on straight line like this, you can always come back the distance and then add a little bit of how deep the water is, put a small weight on, and you can throw that out, and the weight's going to take the fly out, and then the fly should ultimately sit on top of the water. Problem is, you are now splashing that into the water a lot, which most times when you're fly fishing is not really what you want, because when you splash at the top, the fish tend to avoid the top. It's not so bad if you're fishing with bait, because it goes under the water down where they are. They don't really mind the top disturbance so much. So it's kind of one of those things. Try a few different things and your mileage might vary. What about you, Ben? What do you take from home as your go-to bait?
Like I said, I often just use a little bit of my food. So if I got a small piece of steak, I might take a small piece off of that. Pepperettes, gummy bears I've seen done. Gummy bears or little gummy worms, things like that. I've seen people use marshmallows, tried using marshmallows. They dissolve relatively quick, but you get a few casts out of them. All these things, you know, like I said, almost anything is edible. If you're in a spot where there's stocked fish, believe it or not, kibble, like corn.
Yeah.
Works really well because they're used to eating that. Dog food. I've seen people use dog food in the past. Again, it's tricky because it's usually hard to get stick.
Fish agreed with you there, saying gummy worms actually work too. John Doe also said cast nets are real common where he's at. They usually mostly use them for catching bait or mullet. Sometimes they get so heavy that they have to swim down and unattach them underwater, which here in Canada, once again, not super legal to use a cast net. But depending on the time of year, you may not be able to do that. Is not strong often, scent anyway. A factor with bait?
Yes.
Yes. I was just about to say, well, that can be a topic all of its own, but if we're both going to agree on it, yes. Depending on your scent or the scent of the bait, it could potentially lure the fish in. Certain scents will work better than others. I've heard WD-40, somebody that I fish with, religiously has like a super small can of WD-40 they keep in their tackle box, and they just give their hooks a spray and they're like, oh yeah, fish love it. To me, I'd think they'd steer away from it, but it's a thing. Like, you can read about this online. And wet dog food for chumming.
I've heard that WD-40 has a fish oil in it, and that's what would attract them. So oils, I've also heard like garlic, salts, certain salts, like soaking your bait in a salt that lets the salt flavor out, and that attracts fish. But they are attracted to the scents. A lot of things are. If they can smell it, if they see something moving.
And that's the thing. The scent will bring in the curious, and then you have to have something there for them to nibble on. So you can't catch Although I have heard people say straight up, oh, I just sprayed WD-40 on my hook and I didn't even have to use bait. Realistically, I don't see this working. The scent brings them in, much like a shark. A shark will come in for the smell of blood, but they're not going to try and bite at the water. You know what I mean? They need something there with sustenance. So if you're using scent as your big attractant, that works very well in conjunction with like spinners and stuff. Something that's going to catch their attention once they get in close enough to get them to your bait. Not that if you have nothing but, you know, some scented bait, it's not going to work. But now you're back to your more like opportunistic fishing. Like Ben said, usually it has to go by them, like worms. Fish don't necessarily come from way away to come to a worm that's sitting, you know, stationary in a puddle. If you move the worm around, they may see the movement. They may pick up from the scent. It's kind of a combination between the scent and movement. Fish are, even though they're opportunistic, they're still predators. You know what I mean? They want to latch on to something. So you got to give a little movement in there with it.
Yeah. Hang around, kill water, maggots dropped in the water, catch big fish. Yeah.
I've never tried that myself, but of course it would work.
You know, fish are no different than almost any other. They're going to come to things, especially things that are familiar. So if it's something they've eaten before, they'll come to it more likely. But they will investigate, I think, things that are unusual too. So
we're coming up on 46 minutes here. Instead of dragging her out too long, just because I don't think we need to for this topic. To kind of round us up here, Ben, best bang for your buck, what's the best backpacking thing that you would take, fishing-wise?
I think just your basic gear. Just a few hooks, a couple of lures, you know, some fake bait, like you mentioned. You can fit everything you absolutely need in an Altai's tin, for example, size-wise. And
just keep talking.
I'm trying to see if I can get my tackle box. It should be right here.
But yeah, gathering up, you know, the bare necessities, fit it in a small case, something you can put in your pocket. It only takes a second to cut a quick switch or a small piece of wood to make a hand reel. And you can dangle that thing in. Great fun. If I had to go up from that, I might go with maybe the little pen rod, but for the most part, I don't even think I'd bother with that. Most fish I usually catch within a few feet of shore anyways. You don't need to be casting, you know, half a mile out. If you do, you got to reel it all that way in. So, yeah. I would say a quick switch with that basic kit like I think you're about to show.
So this is my... On that note, this is my basic backpacking kit. Like, it's not that big. There's my phone for comparison, you know what I mean? Like, this is actually smaller than my phone, but maybe twice as thick. And I can carry a ton of gear in there. Like, I got some steel leads, just in case. But otherwise, though dumping that out, you can see I got, I think that's hooks. Two different sizes of hooks, some pinch-on weights, a couple of spinners. And over here, I actually have like a gill rope and a small pair of, a small pair of pliers, but it's actually a straight up micro, multi-tool. And this gets everything I need. I can either take this on my own and, just do what Ben said, you know, have to throw a little line in or whatever, but I mean, nice pair of pliers, nice and small. And yeah, with everything that's in here, you have a real good shot of catching something. The only thing that I didn't include in this was the bait because, I'm actually in the process of switching the bait out. I need to get some new stuff.
I didn't see fishing line in there.
That's the thing. I don't have the fishing line cause I put mine in conjunction with the old pen rod. This is my backpacking kit. It's this pen rod and that. It all fits in one little pocket, nice and snug.
And I don't think those pen rods are that expensive.
$14. I checked them out before we came online. $14 will land you one of those. And I think it comes with line. However, I would change the line out. It's like 3-pound test or something.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I mean, the big thing for me really to catch a fish is a decent hook and a nice lure. Beyond that, you don't really need to get them super far out. And especially if you're with streams and brooks, perch yourself near a bit of current, and the fish are generally around there. They usually find like a quiet spot near the current because they're catching food as it comes in and out. And under waterfalls, usually around the edge, near the edge where it's just getting calm, because they're looking for things to come out of the turbulent water. And you drop something in that area, and pretty good chance it's going to chomp it up. And there you go. There's your fish.
Yep. And in big open water, if it's shallow enough, in around big rocks, they tend to hide in under the rocks, and they just kind of survey out to see what comes by. So if you can cast out and drag by a rock, chances are that's going to improve a lot of your chances of catching a little meal as well.
Agreed. They're generally looking for some shade, some shelter from other fish and aerial attacks. So like at my pond, the loons, the ducks, and the eagles are all after them. They're usually, if there's a small shelf or something, they can be under, and they come out and feed, and they go back in under. So you can find those shelves, hang out in those areas, you can usually catch them. Beyond that, the only other thing I'm going to say, I've had my absolute best luck at dusk and dawn.
Yep. Generally, that's when I have the best luck too, though through the day, I've had pretty good luck this year, at least. Not so much in other years, Ben. But, no, it's, dusk to dawn, a light rain, I find, is pretty good too. Not a heavy downpour, but a light rain. And I find cloudy weather to be better than sunny weather, but that's just maybe for here. I don't know. Some people could argue with me on that one. I've heard both sides of it, but just things to keep in mind is when you're fishing, if you're getting lots of bites, pay attention to what's going on around you. What time of day is it? Is it sunny? Is it cloudy? Is it, you know, light rain? Why are you at? These are all things that are you can take with you the next time down, which is honestly going to be the biggest thing to up your game. Because once you understand where fish are and how they act, like Ben said, it doesn't take a whole lot to get in there and get a few.
Yeah. Fish generally eat when food is available, and so the rain, like you mentioned, that washes a lot of animals and they're like small grubs and stuff into the water. If flies and stuff are really bad and they're like on the surface of the water, they'll tend to eat then. So just keep an eye on the environment. You can kind of figure it out. The more you pay attention, the more you'll learn. We are by no means experts.
Oh, gosh, no. I sent Gary a message to see if he wanted to join us tonight because I figured he'd have some great input in here, but he never got back to me, so I assume he's just busy.
Yeah, probably.
But
anyways, I'm good.
Me as well. I think it's a great place to end. We're still at 52 minutes. Might have rambled a little bit, but those who are here, they know we ramble.
Like I said, like always, you know, get out there, have fun. I personally would challenge each of you to go down to the dollar store. Don't have to spend a lot of money. Get some basic stuff and don't test it in.
Yeah, likewise. My challenge would be see how little you can get away with to catch a fish. And then, you know, take everything with you if you want, by far. Like, don't get me wrong. But just once you get there and the fish are biting and stuff like that, start taking stuff away and see what you can do with. Maybe try tying a piece of string on a stick. Put a hook on it and go for it. I mean, you'd be surprised. It's a lot of fun. Ben and I joke about it a lot, but it was a ton of fun, and we learned a lot of stuff. So I challenge you folks out there to do the same. You'd be surprised what you'll learn. Guess that's it. Night, everybody. We'll see you next week.